This episode of Nature of Things was originally aired November 3rd, 1989.
A few years ago, a friend of mine came into my office, plopped a newspaper article on my desk and said, "Look at this. What's your reaction to it?" The article was from the National Enquirer and was headlined, "Conservation Society was named for him, but famed artist Audubon killed thousands of birds for sport." It was byline Joseph Cassidy. "You know I don't read Enquirer," I said. "It gives me indigestion." "Read it," he said. "I want to know if it's true." The implication seemed to be that if it were true, this friend was ready to withdraw all support from the organization. Apparently many others were shocked by this startling revelation too. But I, having read a great portion of Audubon's diaries before I was in high school, was hardly surprised at all. At this time, when we are well ensconced in the hunting season, some of these comments might be pertinent. Of course, anyone who has read much about Audubon, or for that matter, of any of the early naturalists, learns to his sorrow that they felt quite differently about killing wildlife than we do. It's very difficult, I believe, to put ourselves in the place of any of these early pioneers. In the first place, Audubon lived in an era, 1785 to 1851, when hunting skill was an important concomitant to successful living in America. His background and upbringing and his basic nature was such that he has been described by many of his chroniclers as a man of larger than normal appetites and passions. He fitted well in the frontier society in which he frequently found himself. He had remarkable rapport with Native Americans, with whom his skill as a marksman and hunter was one of the touchstones. This was an era when the apparently excessively abundant wildlife in North America was slaughtered as a matter of course. The diaries of many Americans to whom we attribute the same kind of saintly humanism with which we have invested Audubon would probably reveal similar attitudes and perhaps even records. The excess mentioned in the article are more characteristic of the young Audubon than of his more mature years. After all, he did provide some early warnings about the need to conserve. Despite his record as a hunter, even as a slaughterer of game, he was ahead of his time in his assessment of the values of wildlife. It's true, as the article suggests, that sportsmen today would be outraged by his bloody excesses. So too, I presume, would Audubon if he were alive today. I see little that is pertinent in this kind of assessment. In fact, I consider it to be a fake and a charade. The important fact is that Audubon's actions were typical of his day. The values which present a day sportsman hold would have been misunderstood and ridiculed in those days. But then no one would have held those attitudes anyway. I guess the basic question is whether or not we read Audubon's diaries to make value judgments about him, and if those value judgments should in any way alter our assessment of his accomplishments, as Mr. Cassidy apparently felt they should. Audubon's diaries provide us some of the most dynamic accounts of frontier life which exist today. His accounts of wildlife are also extremely valuable, but at times the sense of drama which made his writing and his painting so attractive seemed to get in the way of his scientific judgment. A certain shrinkage factor is always appropriate. What Audubon contributed, the effect of which seems undiminished by time, was an aesthetic and scientific portrayal of bird and animal life of his day. Today, as it did then, his work engenders a sense of the singular value of the wild community and many who are until then actually unaware that they even existed. I would feel quite fulfilled if I could believe that my writings, drawings, and teachings had accomplished even a shade of that. Nothing we can do will change what Audubon was. It's fortunate, I think, that insincere moralism did not prevent his work from reaching us. I'm sure the people who bought the first elephant folios of his work had few illusions about him. He was too open for that, and he delighted in the stories of the hunt. Today, we have a form of carnage called professional football, to which I'm quite devoted. It has become so commercialized and so inhumane today that its mechanical ministrations result in permanent crippling and maiming of many young men. No, it's not the same as slaughtering wildlife, but I hope that at some future time my accomplishments as an educator will not be balanced against my devotion to this uncivilized form of physical torture. How do you feel about that? That's all I have for today. This is John Week saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week, and keep it natural.